Hello and welcome to this episode of Crop Talk. I am your host, Thad Stauffer, and joining me once again is Lucas Conmee, Jason Gama, and Tom Temko, who are the crop insurance product officers here at Compeer. And for you today, listeners, we have a whole wide range of topics for us to discuss, largely focused on current risks with 2020 crop, as well as a look back at the current risk with any old crop you might have. We will dive into some of the various topics as it relates to disaster aid, as well as take opportunity to talk about what's going on with other farm programs, and importantly, right now for that crop that's getting planted, what happens if you have a claim or have potential issues. So guys, let's start here. Let's talk about the first topic, and quite honestly, from our listeners, I'm going to call it the Farmer Tom discussion here, because quite honestly, one of the benefits, as we've shared before this podcast, is Tom as a farmer gives us a practical sense of what a lot of our listeners are out there facing from a risk standpoint. And I've asked Tom to kind of tee up this topic for us to interject and connect with each of you here today, and that is talking about current risk where we're at today in the state of farming. So, Tom, if you would, I'll turn the mic over to you, and we'll interject along the way.
Pleasure to be here, Thad. You know, it's been a long week. We just finished wrapping up planting corn and soybeans in our farm that I farm with my brother. So a lot of these topics, not on top of my mind right now, just like many producers out there. So we got a little bit of a rain day today, maybe 3/10, some areas 7/10, some 1/10 of inch of rain. So I've been thinking about these programs. There's so many of them out there. Quite honestly, I'm thinking about 2020, what it looks like for me and what my crop insurance is going to do. I'm thinking about my old 2019 old crop I have left. I'm thinking about the number of government programs, what it means for me for this year, 2020. And there's so many of them, I can hardly keep them straight. I mean, we've got the new one with COVID-19 Farm Aid that was talked about, I think, on the 17th of April. We talk about the rumors of another government program that they don't want to interfere with planting intentions. I think the funding of the CCC program, we've got the ARC and PLC that'll be coming this fall. We've got WIP Plus. We've got the PPP programs, the EIDL programs. I mean, it just goes on and on. So my question to you, Thad, is where do you want me to start today?
Well, first of all, you threw out a lot of acronyms. So as we go through this, let's make sure we qualify all those acronyms, a lot to keep straight. I kind of want you to take the opportunity to tell me,
because like any good farmer, I don't want to sell all my crop at profitable areas. I'd rather hang on to it a little bit and see what the market's going to give me.
I understand that, and you're not alone there, and that's why I brought up that. Let's talk about kind of the current state. Across the three states that Compeer has, we know today that there's been a lot of planting going on the last 2 or 3 weeks. And we know a lot of crop has been planted. So let's talk about where we're currently at today.
Okay, that's a good question, Thad. Let's talk about new crop and what that means to producers out there. As I think of new crop, I'm going to talk about 2020. And if you think about our producers that take the levels of coverage that they do on their crop insurance, I think of 85% coverage levels. And not everybody takes 85% coverage levels, depending upon their geographic location and what they want for risk management. But think about this. Let's just use 200 bushel APH with trend adjustment. Use 85% level. That's like 170 bushel guarantee times the spring price of $3.88 gives us like $660 of coverage. Now, I mentioned earlier that's 85% level coverage. Some took 75, some have the extra add-on products to get them up to 95% coverage. But sticking with the 85%, if I look at December futures today at $3.30, let's call it, we basically are back at our APH guaranteed bushels. So at $660 divided by 330, works out to, hey, you know, right now, what is our risk if prices go lower? From my perspective, okay, lower prices really don't hurt us that much. So if I wanted to focus on that and what that means to a producer, this will have prices go lower in my mind. Now, do I really want lower prices? No. I don't. But in the end, if prices drop 30 cents, that's going to probably increase my bushel guarantee, if you will. And I'm not really at risk for 2020 anymore. Either prices need to go 40, 50 cents higher, or they just will go 40, 50 cents lower. And farmers are going to turn out just the same, maybe even better. Now, as I actually talk about 2020 risk to producers, again, lower prices aren't going to hurt us. The real risk right now at where we're at today is how much old crop from 2019 do we have left over? Because crop insurance in 19 obviously ended in December, they're at risk, basically. And so if I think of 2019, what should producers be doing? I don't really have that answer for them. With COVID-19, the ethanol plant shutting down, corn is a crop, for old crop anyhow, that's most at risk. We've lost basis of 30 cents to 50 cents or higher. Futures have gone down. That is where all the risk, in my mind, is at today. And there's no real good answer for anybody on what to do with old crop. Thank goodness for myself, most of my old crop is soybeans. It still adds up. But if I had old crop corn, I'd be scrambling on what my options are. So if we focus mostly on 2019, we've got the COVID-19 Farm Aid program out there that's released on 17th, but not the rules. We believe the rules are supposed to get released this week, but I think there's some discussion out there that they're going to be revised. I think a lot of the focuses was most of the benefit was going to be on unpriced grain. They may refocus that because you don't want to penalize good marketers. If you got rid of 70% of your crop with good, strong basis, which I would have hoped a lot of people would have taken advantage of, those people may maybe not come out as well as the people that had old crop on hand. So you're going to see maybe some revision in rules this week. We'll find out more. Hopefully in a week or two, COVID-19 aid program rules will get released. Know that the sign-up was anticipated to start on May 15th, and dollars or funds were supposed to maybe get shipped out in farmers' hands as soon as possible. So that's one of the programs that are going to be out there that may help us on old crop a little bit.
Well, I think, Tom, as you're talking through this, we all have a lot of questions. As you mentioned, there's maybe not a lot of answers right now. We're waiting for what might come of that. You mentioned the COVID-19. As we think about 2020 crop year or even old crop, are there other programs we should be talking about that either align with crop insurance or in addition to what we've got within crop insurance?
Yeah, let's talk about that because there's the rumors that there's a program out there that they don't want to affect planting intentions. So that'll come out later this summer, it sounds like. I don't know if that's a form of MFP 3.0 or what that may take form of, but look for more to come out of that. But if I think of the programs out there, you're right, that we know today that are still out there, we're going to be looking at the WIP Plus. We've talked about that. This is our third or fourth time talking about WIP Plus. That's for 18 and 19. So if you have not gone into the FSA office to sign up or apply for it, you're supposed to have some type of flooding or excessive moisture. It varies upon your county if they had declared a disaster county or not, but everybody's eligible for it. So if you haven't taken the time, call your FSA office and see if this is something that you may actually qualify for. Because WIP Plus gets you potentially up to 95% coverage, essentially.
Let me ask you this question on that piece of WIP Plus and make sure I'm not confusing all the programs out there. Cause of loss, is that important for the WIP Plus piece?
It can be, and it's going to be different by area. And I believe the WIP Plus can qualify in our area, for like where I'm at, for excessive moisture or flooding. In other areas, it could be for drought. So there's some widespread problematic areas that I think a lot of people will qualify. And really, again, I hate to say this, but if you haven't taken the time yet, call your FSA office and see where they're at. Because the program and the delivery of the program can vary by each office. I think you're finding a lot of FSA offices are on top of the program as far as administration. If you would have backed up 3 months ago, there is nobody really knew what to do with the WIP Plus program at that time.
Now, Tom, let me ask this question. There's been a number of farm programs that had said if you received any of that, those payments, let's say WIP Plus, since that's where we're on now, if they have a WIP Plus payment, is there any tie to crop insurance when they have to purchase a policy going forward, or is that strictly independent of their current crop insurance product or decision?
The answer to that is both is yes, I believe. So if you do have crop insurance, say at 80 or 85% level, you qualify to get paid up to 95% level. If you have a 75% policy coverage level, you may qualify for WIP Plus up to 92.5%. And it does matter if you have enterprise or optional. And if you had no insurance, you just may be required to carry crop insurance for like 2 years.
So that, I appreciate that sharing, Tom. This is probably a good point for us to put a plug in to the resources we have here at Compeer. I know we have shared a WIP Plus tool with all of the insurance officers here at Compeer that would help walk clients or producers through that equation. So certainly the math we're talking about here can get a little confusing, but certainly we can, even in this stay-at-home order, working remotely, still meet those needs by sharing that information with our producers.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of programs out there, and that's why it can get a little confusing, a little fuzzy from time to time, but still keeping our eye on the ball. WIP Plus, again, check with your FSA office if you haven't yet. And we'll talk about the PPP program, right? We're all familiar with the Payroll Protection Program. A fair amount of producers with employees went through the first round of the program. The second round of PPP was, I think it started on April 10th. And as a farmer, if I was a sole proprietorship type producer and no employees, he can also be eligible for the PPP program, but they had to have some Schedule F income to qualify for that. Let's say if you had, I don't know, $50,000 of income, that can get a little fuzzy where that income came from. But PPP is available, and regular producers are eligible for that if they have Schedule F earned income. Check with your tax preparer, your lender, to see if it's a program for you. Funding, to my knowledge, is still available, but I'm sure it'll run out soon. And then you get the EIDL program where you have to have employees and you have to apply directly through the SBA on that one. Was not eligible to the typical producer, but I believe they took out that language here maybe a few days ago.
So, Tom, let's pause. We've covered a lot of ground already, a lot of really actually good information. I don't want to seem like I'm surprised that you're sharing good information, but I do think this is something good for our listeners to hear again. If they've been hearing about stuff like that. As we think about where we're at, too, a lot of our producers made ARC and PLC decisions before the March 16th decision this current year. Any implications or any conversation from your perspective or even Jason Lucas, your side of when we think about ARC, PLC, and that impact?
I'm going to start that conversation off that. We talked a lot with producers during the sales season and prior to that about ARC and PLC and the choices that they were faced with for the 2019 and 2020 growing season. We ran the numbers. We helped producers through that decision-making process. And Lucas, I don't know if you've got any of the numbers pulled up on our decision tool.
Yeah, so just a reminder for clients and producers, we still have the same tools available, and now we're, you know, a little bit farther into the pricing discovery for ARC and PLC, which runs through September. And again, we're using national cash prices, not Board of Trade, when we're talking, as we're accustomed to do for talking for crop insurance. But I plugged some numbers into our tool, and right now we're projecting for a PLC price is $3.60. And so if you remember that it pays anything below $3.70. So ballpark, you know, depending on county yield, but I ran a bunch of counties, you know, we're somewhere, the payment right now is projecting somewhere between that $18 and $22 an acre payment for PLC. I'm not going to touch too much on ARC because that's more dependent on if you had yield problems in 2019, but just the PLC payment alone, if you did go that way, and I know a lot of people did for corn, we're talking in that $18 to $22 dollar range. So, I mean, at least it's something coming back for 2019.
and that's a monthly number we tracked, or the NAS tracks, and I can't imagine that it's going to stay at 360. I would guess it's going to trend lower, so those amounts may get even bigger. And Lucas, what's the soybean reference price again?
Yeah, so for soybeans, we're talking about 840, and so the number that's being plugged in there right now for the national cash price is 865. So even on the ARC side, or sorry, for the PLC on soybeans, you know, we still got a limited go before we're going with a payment on PLC. I believe, and this is just a broad assumption, I think there was a lot of farmers, clients and producers that went into the ARC program for soybeans. So, again, that's going to be more county dependent based on yields and prices. So we'll have to wait a little bit, I think, on the ARC side.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. And I'll just reference my county in Jackson County, Minnesota, where we produce. We had a tough year with all the moisture prevent plant and long harvest season. But I think right now the final yield numbers haven't been released because they're coming from the RMA, crop insurance side. But if we use NAS as a predictor, you know, we're, I think, about 156 roughly, and we were expecting that might equate to like a $50 an acre payment with prices trending lower. I'm going to guess we'll probably max out at that $70-some dollar an acre payment on corn. With beans trending lower, we were expecting maybe a, I can't remember, $20, $30 acre payment. Now I think that's going to probably be closer to $50 or more. So a lower price will affect those that took county ARC, especially if you're in a yield or an area that maybe suffered some yield loss. So yeah, those numbers are also part of the 2020 that payment should come out in that November 1st or that first week of November timeframe. So producers need to keep an eye on that as well.
Hey Lucas, real quick, just a clarification. You talked on the ARC PLC program that it was a national cash price, and you talked about it being 360. For 2019. How long do we have to wait until that becomes more final? Do we have more of the calendar to go through, to eat through, before we have kind of an ending value and know what ARC is going to actually pay on?
Yes, we go September to September. So we started tracking in September of 19, and we go through September of 20 to get that price. So as Tom kind of mentioned, you know, we're kind of projecting a 360 price. But he mentioned it could go lower. So as we keep going into these down prices, I don't even want to guess what cash prices are right now on corn in a lot of places. But as we continue to go down, that 360 price most likely is going to come down, and that's going to increase the PLC payment. So we are looking at a little relief there. But yeah, we got some months left. We're just about to turn the calendar to May, and we have to go till September 1st. So we got some time.
Well, guys, good conversation on that. I think that was important for our listeners. And it's interesting, as I've listened to you all share that information, it's interesting at a bunch of folks who work within crop insurance, the amount of time and energy we spend to learn about the programs that are outside of crop insurance to create value and bring information, not just to these listeners here, but also the clients and the team members we work with. So it's important as we think about risk that we think about all things that could be affecting a producer and what they're dealing with, not just in this current COVID situation, but, you know, throughout the year. So as I sit here today and I'm, you know, sitting in my home and thinking about the next conversation here, as I think about the issues we could be challenged with planting this year, I think about what a difference a year makes. As a year ago, we were sitting here watching it continue to rain all the way through April, May, and June. As we sit today, a lot of the crop within Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota has been planted, or at least a good start has been at least underway. So that's a great sign to know we're in a better position than we were a year ago. But we have seen quite a bit of rain in the last few days since we are recording this here towards the end of April. And with those rains comes a welcome sign for a growing crop. But as we all know in the business we work in, sometimes that rain comes too fast, too much, as well as other issues. So, Jason, let me turn it over to you, kind of as our resident claim guy here, as to what are some things we should be thinking about this time of year as it relates to just claim reminders in general.
Yeah, thanks, Thad. You're right. What a difference a year makes. I think we built up a lot of prevent plant resources last year that are ready to go. If we do end up with a wet spell and have some issues getting crop in the ground, we can turn to some of those reminders and some of those resources for sure around prevent plant. The beauty or the blessing that we found last year was it forced us into a place where we had to learn more and more about prevent plant, kind of the depths of that policy and how some of the language reads. So we are ready to have that conversation for sure. But as we sit here today, as you mentioned, that crop is going in a lot better. So now we're kind of going back to a normal year. And what are we supposed to be thinking about from a normal year standpoint of crop going in and potentially having some germination issues or some crusting issues, whatever the case might be, because we have had some wet spots. So the biggest thing I can tell you is from a reminder standpoint is to get in touch with your Compeer insurance officer prior to doing anything with that crop that you've already planted. So corn, soybeans, whatever the crop is that's already in the ground, if there are issues with that crop that come, please don't do anything without contacting your insurance officer, because they have to turn around and turn a claim in and notify the insurance provider, the insurance company, of what your intentions are. Oftentimes, they have to send out an adjuster to evaluate that crop that is there that you did plant. Yes, it may be poor emergence or it may be poor stand at this point, but they still have to put a value to that crop, because as soon as you put that crop in the ground, insurance attached to that crop. So they have to do something with that crop prior to you doing anything to it in most cases. There are a couple of exceptions to that statement. If you're replanting less than 50 acres of a unit this year, they extended that to 100 acres in a unit because of some of the challenges we have with COVID-19 and trying to keep social distancing at a peak, that you can do some self-certification. But even in that world, even if we're going to replant small amounts of ground, we still have to contact our Compeer insurance officer to let them know that we are doing that, because they have to notify the insurance company prior to you replanting back to the same crop. They have to notify the adjusting staff of that, so that physically approval can be given. Now, again, that approval can be over the phone. It can be done virtually. So you don't have to wait on the insurance company, but you do have to make contact with them through your insurance officer and the normal claim submission process. So as we sit here on April 28th today, you're likely hearing this recording after that in the early parts of May. But as we are recording this on the 28th, we have passed the initial plant date for all of our crops in our area, so replanting at this point is not an issue. So if you have to replant, again, contact your insurance officer and start that process prior to getting in the field. Now, what we often get questions about as well as we move through the month of May and into the early parts of June is, let's say we get into a case where the corn that you planted ends up turning out poor stand or poor germination, whatever the case is, and it gets late enough in the year that you don't want to replant back to corn, and you actually want to go on and plant that exact acreage that was planted to corn and planted to soybeans. There's some rules around that, so I would encourage you to reach out to your insurance officer, who can get confirmation from the claims department. But it's my understanding that it is practical to replant back to the same crop all the way out until a point in time in early June. And the actual language says you have to replant back to the same crop through 10 days of the late plant period for that first initial crop. And I know that's insurance language for you guys as listeners, so let me break that down, what that means in real life layman's terms. So in Illinois, for example, our final plant date for corn is June 5th. So if you plant corn on a particular piece of ground, you've got to, and there's an issue with it. There's poor emergence, poor stand, whatever the case is, and you want to do something with that crop. You've got to go back to corn until we get up to June 15th, okay? In Illinois, on June 15th, that's 10 days into the late plant period for corn, you have the ability then to switch from corn to beans. Again, we're talking about the same piece of ground, the same acreage. In Wisconsin, the final plant date for corn is 5/31, as it is in Minnesota as well. So in your guys' cases, you've got to wait 10 days into that late plant period, which would be June 10th, June 9th, June 10th, before the insurance company will allow you to go from corn to soybeans. So not to confuse the situation there, the big takeaway, contact your insurance officer, get a claim turned in anytime you're going to touch that crop, and they can direct you further.
So, Jason, good information. A couple of thoughts as you were talking about that I think is important to share with our listeners. One is, oftentimes in the crop insurance world, we use the term replant. As you mentioned, it's going back to the same crop. Sometimes when you're at FSA office recording acres, or you're talking with whoever you're getting your seed from, and you talk about replanting, they sometimes think, if I go from corn to beans, I'm still replanting. And in this case, replanting is back to the same crop.
Yeah, that's an issue that we deal with. We deal with that issue every year for sure. It's kind of a play on words. I get that. But there is some strong implications if we do that without notifying. There's some strong penalties involved if you were to go from corn to beans without notifying the company first and without following those deadlines that we just laid out.
So good. Thank you for that. I'm also thinking, too, as you talked about the replant side, you mentioned this, but it's worth mentioning again. Anything you're going to do with a crop that's insured, you know, this time of year, we need to make sure we notify the agent as well as turn a loss in. And I think about that, Luke, from where you're up in your neck of the woods where you've got a lot of forage and ground that would be up there that could be tore up and planted to another crop. That would be the same scenario there where you'd want to make sure you turn in the notice of loss to your agent and get confirmation from an adjuster before you do anything else this point in time.
Yeah, that's right. There's right now in Wisconsin, this time of year, we're looking at forage and wheat possibly being torn up and planted to another crop. Funny enough, I've heard there's not a lot of wheat being torn up right now. I think it gives some diversification. Obviously, we're in some lower prices for corn and beans, and so wheat, there's no sense to tear it up unless it's real bad. Alfalfa, we're still coming off of some forage stuff that were low on supply. So I think forage and wheat are sticking around maybe than they were in other years, unless it's real bad. So, but yeah, if you're going to tear something up, make sure you call, as Jason said, make sure you call your insurance person or call your computer crop insurance officer, because we need to have adjusters take a look at that before you do anything. Or even if there's any questions about it, if you're not really sure what you want to do, at least have the adjuster come out, give it an appraisal, so then you know what you're dealing with. But for sure, before anything happens to those stands, you open a claim and get an adjuster to take a look at them.
That's great. Yeah, good information there. Well, gang, as we kind of wrap up our conversation here, a couple thoughts I have, and then actually I'm going to let Tom kind of close this out because he's kind of dominated the call today, and appreciate all the information that you each shared there. You know, as I look back and we kind of started a conversation about where we were with new crop and where we're at with revenues, if you think about, we're basically encouraging folks, if they took those higher levels of coverage, we're in that $650 plus revenue guarantee this year. So certainly in a good position on that new crop. And as we talked about the new crop here towards the end, if there's any issues with that new crop, definitely let us know so we can turn a claim in and work with the insurance providers to take that to the next step or what else might need to be happened after that. Tom, I'm going to give you the chance here to kind of wrap us up here before I close out. What's one thing you want to share with our listeners since you were full of information today?
Well, there's a couple things outside my wheelhouse, and that's with the COVID-19 farm program or farm aid program, the farmers. I forgot to mention, and I think they all know it, but a lot of it's heavy on the livestock, cattle, hogs. So didn't want to leave that out of the equation. There'll be more information coming out on that as well. But as it pertains to grain, if you talk to any marketer type person, they're going to tell you that every good marketing program starts with a good crop insurance base. I mean, all farmers want is a fair price that they can be profitable at. We get that. But unfortunately, some years your crop insurance program is your marketing program as well. So let's not take the eye off the ball. Some areas, sometimes you think crop insurance isn't as important, but it really is the starting point for any good marketing program.